I'm gonna start back.
You want us to find you a better chair? No, you're back.
I'm gonna start backwards.
All right, start backwards.
You can start whatever you want.
All right.
Look, everything I do is a problem.
It's a great problem.
I love them. Go start.
5, 4, 3, 2.
Oh, I'm in a good mood. I'm in such a good mood today because I'm with my friends and family. Family. Well, already, this is me starting, but don't say your name. Don't
can
talk.
Be exempt from the rules.
Don't talk until I say your name, okay? So anyway, what we got here is a very beautiful situation. We're doing our podcast here via Los Angeles. I don't know what the date is, but last night I had massive diarrhea because I had her niece Jules, who lives with me, Bad Rudy. Some of you guys know her. Cooked me a dinner, and then last night. All night long, pop, 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 and it was like burning, and it was a sleepless night. And Kalila thinks that is from the pink berry I got because I'm lactose intolerant. Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna blame Jules for it because she made me bacon. Egg. Who eats bacon and eggs and kimchi for dinner? But I guess Filipinos do.
They do.
It's classic.
Yeah, so that's what happened last night. And then I binged watched all of Love on a Spectrum. Oh fuck, man!
Wait, you finished?
I saw all of it, man. What a great show, what a funny show. But that's not what today's all about. Mm-mm. Today's not.
What's it about, Bobby?
Today's all about. I'm gonna say something, okay? Yeah. About 20 years ago, maybe 23 years ago. It was a very long time ago. I was. Broke, and I was used to be a Hamburger Hamlet by the Comedy Store, and it was during the day, and I was at the Hamburger Hamlet, and I see this next guest sit down with his agent. I don't know who it was, and I remember being like my, you know how you're a fan,
yeah,
and you get tingles, and then you get like you can't move,
you're
so I couldn't even enjoy my hamburger. Yeah. I met him later. He's a piece of shit, but but when I saw, and so then I go, oh, I wonder I'm a comic too. I wonder if I'll ever meet the guy. And then, you know, we became friends, but he was, I think, part of the best generation of SNL groups. You know, there was a couple of groups that were like huge, and his group was like huge, you know. You know, back in the day, you had the original Aykroyd, you know, Bill Murray, all those guys. And then, but I think that his group is the second wave of SNL that really I grew up with. And I was also, he gave me one line in his movie, The Wrong Miss, I really appreciate. I really appreciate the one line. And
do I talk during this?
Yeah, no. No, so so he also has a television program on the Comedy Central called Lights Out. He's in a million movies. And I love him so much. He's also done Love. I was on Love. Everybody, round of applause for David Spade, everybody.
Oh, everyone's on the edge of their seat.
Yeah. David.
Well.
Yeah. What's the matter?
No, I'm doing good. I was just thinking.
Yeah.
We did do Love.
Did
we do scenes in Love or not?
We didn't do no scenes.
I just came in. I think the last season it was fun. I thought that was a cool show.
Yeah, yeah.
Very funny. I was bummed I didn't get to do more of those. I like that.
Well, that's how I actually, the first conversation I think I ever had with you was at a Love like rap party. Do you remember that?
That's where we met you. We were going up or down the stairs to that one place.
Remember that? It was that one lobby
weird
you had to go.
Weird parking spot. You had to go up and then you.
And you were right at our butt, I remember.
Oh, yeah.
And Bobby was like. Oh,
and in this party, there was a couch that moved over, and then you walked down some stairs. Like, yeah, it was like a secret.
Was I with Adam Egit? Maybe who? Did
no,
I
you no, were with,
you're with Cool Hollywood.
Yeah, Cool Hollywoods.
Yeah, cool Hollywood.
You know who it was?
Who?
Who did I bring? Do you remember?
I don't know. I don't remember. I don't know them.
I remember I did love, but that's those days are over.
What happened to your back?
Did you know you had a show today?
What?
Did you know you had this show today?
Yeah, why?
Because my Uber Eats guy dressed better.
I know, but you're...
I like these little flaps, and then you got sweats cut off.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it from the Sandler collection? Why doesn't Sandler have a clothing line? He should have a clothing
line. He really should.
For the regular guy.
Yeah.
The regular millionaire.
Yeah. He kind of dresses homelessy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's his charm.
It's his charm.
I'm somewhere in the middle. I don't dress...
Well, you're dressed like a caddy.
I always thought if I... I thought if I made money, I would be wearing suits every day.
Yeah.
I just thought as a kid... That would mean, because, you know, every ad, a guy's got a suit on. I don't know why I never did. I don't know. But I sort of just stopped here with the caddy shirts.
Yeah.
But this shirt's good. Green's good on me.
No, you do look good in green.
I beat you to it, but you were going to maybe say something. I keep looking at the camera.
Yeah. Could I tell you something about
Rolex?
You?
What'd you ask me?
Oh no, I want
80,000. What'd you say? I couldn't even. I can't hear because there's a plexi.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But I have to say, because I've met many people from your generation on SNL.
Are we that far apart?
Big generation.
You could be anywhere from 20 to 100.
I know.
No idea.
I know. You're a couple years maybe older. Than
I'm way. Yeah. I'm an older than you.
No. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that and people talk about this. People have said this to me before, but there's something. There isn't, you know, this Hollywood thing that you do. You're just a really just kind of a nice guy. Have you always been like that?
Hopefully, from my mom, but hopefully because I've always had, you know, those hard jobs and grew up without money. So I was a valet, I was a busboy, I was a dishwasher. So those are the kind of things I relate to more in life. And I think the people that do those, I relate to having the rich people come in and be assholes or just ignore you, whatever.
Yeah.
So I'd rather, no one would ever think you'd be successful in any way when you're doing that. You don't think, well, if I ever get money, because there would be no chance I would.
Yeah.
So suddenly when you're in that position a little bit where or they know you or you're just being someone in their world, just don't make their life any shittier. It's already hard. Every job I had, I hated. Everybody came in, I'm like, please don't make it harder. So if you tip them a little extra, if you're just nice to them, just be normal. And then just something off their plate they don't have to worry about. So if you do that a long time, that does pay off a long time as far as just overall general reputation. And it's part of my mom. Today I was at lunch and then I sat alone on like a 5-top. It was like a patio, but no one was there.
Yeah.
So I put my hat down to claim it. And then I come back and there's a... And then there's like regular booths, a little smaller, but there was 5 people with a baby.
Yeah.
And I was going to give it my booth.
Yeah. But did you?
Oh, I should have.
Yeah.
But I said, you guys want to switch. And they did. They were nice. So in my head, that's my mom would be mad if I didn't do that. But in my head, then I think, oh, if they ever in their life, they see you once in their life, then they go, oh, it was a nice experience. You weren't. Being an ass, whatever.
But you're not you're just doing it. You're not
right. I didn't do that
it.
Out of anything.
Yeah, you just do it.
Well, you're supposed to. Obviously, you have more people sit here. I didn't know anyone was coming in here. But I did something the other day that I thought you would laugh at. I was thinking on the way over here. Oh, so, well, we can talk about the Wrong Missy because that's funny. The Wrong Missy is so funny because how fun it was that you were there.
Yeah.
And I was so mad. First of all, I didn't hire you. I just said, Bobby Lee's great. I saw you were in it. I go, oh, Bobby Lee's great. I wouldn't have given you one line. Now, it worked out. Didn't it work out because of Hawaii?
Yes, it did work out.
Don't jump ahead.
I know.
You're giving me the don't jump ahead look. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'll just say, Bobby Lee was in The Wrong Missy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, a few people remember it. thank you. I remember doing it because I was sort of the straight man in it.
Yeah.
And so... We were in Hawaii and everything was great, but it's movie's still a grind. No one would even believe you that when you're doing anything at 5 a.m. every day, you don't know if anyone's going to watch it. You just go, fuck, man. I just took another job. You go, I hope to God anybody sees it, but you're doing it out of sequence. Lauren's in it. Lauren's being funny every day. And I'm thinking, if this shit is funny like I think it is. She's pretty funny.
She's really funny.
But I don't know. I go, we laugh, and then I think everyone's like, are you in that stupid movie? I'm like, well, it was so funny when we shot it. Because I've done so many where we think it's, there's a couple. There's a couple we think are funny, we do it, and it doesn't work. There's some I do when I know it's not funny when I do it. It just loses something from when you read the script to when they do a rewrite to when you're on the set, they make it from an R-rated movie to a PG. It's already less funny. Then they cast somebody weird, and then the editing, it just deteriorates. So sometimes you don't really go out to do a movie that doesn't work, but it can happen along the way. So that one was more low expectation. And I didn't know Lauren, but I saw her audition tape, and I'm like, she's great. Like, everybody liked her, and she comes out, and she's scoring so hard, and they're giving her so many takes, like, do it a little drunker, do it a little sexier, do it a little meaner. And she just, like, has 3 seconds.
Killing it.
And they go rolling, and then they have to think, okay, has a new way to do it. Make up whatever you want, that kind of thing. So the heavy lifting was on her, and I was just sort of reacting, which is fun, too. It's not fun 100 takes, but it's fun.
Yeah.
What is she doing? That's so crazy. So, but then when we had you there, it's always fun when someone comes in that you know, because we're all always there.
Yeah.
And Sandler was there that day. Yeah. And Sandler's kids were there.
Yeah.
And you, and they went from the kids scene over to you.
Yeah.
And when
did
you ever talk about it on here?
Well, I have a little bit. But so what happened was, I don't know what happened, but in the beginning it was because I flew in. I went and saw Nick. Remember, I went to see Nick on set. Just to say hello.
Yeah.
I don't think you remember that I was there.
Yeah.
It was early and there was something else going on. There was a haze. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
And see, you know what I mean?
Makes sense.
Yeah. One eye went in this way and the other was like, yeah. And so then I saw you, and then I saw Lauren at the hotel, and she was super sweet.
Did you know her?
No, but she just walked. I was sitting on the curb, and she just walked up to me, and she goes, I'm Lauren, you're Bobby, let's be friends, that kind of thing. You know what I mean? So I was like, I like this girl. And then, so I show up.
She was nice to everyone, yeah.
Yeah. But Sandler has a thing where I just get a little intimidated. I
would too. I could see that when you were there, because he had his kids. We walked through the kids to get to you, so it was all sort of together in one scene. And she's screaming at Sandler's kids, fuck you, it's hysterical. And I'm like, why isn't she worried about this? Because Sandler was down the set at the beginning, that was it. But he's over there with his coffee by Video Village, and I'm like, she's yelling at his kids, Bobby's next. And then he would run in like a way to do it or notes or something, and it just upped the pressure.
Now the scene is, I'm a hotel guy, right? Clerk. So David is in front of me. So I know David, right? And I know him as, we've had dinners. I know him as a kind, gentle guy. So I'm looking at him. And then after the first take, I could see in my peripheral, Adam coming to me, right? And he comes up with a note that, you know, I think it was more like, either I don't believe it, you know, you're a hotel clerk. I don't believe what you're
saying.
I don't believe what you're saying. You know what I mean? And, you know.
It's like a drama.
Did I do it real?
Oh, horrible. And then he's walking away and you're like,
yeah.
What is that?
Yeah, and Hugh could tell that I'm spinning.
Yeah.
Right? And so I do it again.
Which unfortunately made it even more hysterical. Because it was too great. Your misery was so shot through the roof that me and Lauren were like, oh my God, this is so awkward that he has to do it. And then he flubbed it again, and they're like. And then every time we start giggling, going, we got to shut up, because this poor fucking guy, he's right here, and you know, 80 people in the set waiting, and he's like, welcome Morris to the Aulani Connie Hotel. And they're like, cut, what the? And I'm like, what the fuck was that? And I'm just trying to make it worse for you. And we'd all laugh.
Yeah, so they're playing into it too.
Yeah, because we think it's so
funny. They think it's so funny, but then it's like, as time goes on.
Oh, it gets less funny.
I'm also kind of dying inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I'm like, I think I did it the right that time.
I think you know what I mean?
And then they see you do it again, and you're like, I have no idea how to do it different.
Yeah. And so, but then it got to the point where I would look at you, and you would like go, you're doing fine. Like you would whisper things to me, you know, which was really kind.
I was trying to be nicer, to calm you down.
Yeah, to calm me down.
Because it's too, after a while, it's too rough. I'm like, you don't want to be in this position. It's funny for a while, but then remember when Chris and Sarah Chalk would walk in and start laughing before they even got in? And I'm like, if he gets it just once, or we'd be in the scene, we'd hear you behind us, and we'd all start going. And then we see Sam like around the corner, I go, no! not another visit from Sandman.
I know.
It's sickening. But then, when did you do the one where I was checking out? Was it the same day?
It was the same day. Yeah. Mm. That went better.
I did love when you fuck whatever.
Yeah. But that was out of frustration. But
oh, that's right. Witowski was there.
Witowski was there. Yeah. Sarah Shock. Witowski. So I knew, I've worked with Witowski many, you know, on Love.
Yeah.
Knew her. Sarah's sweet girl. But what happened was I went to the hotel, had dinner, and I got, you know, a series, not a series regular, but a reoccurring on Magnum. Where are you going?
Oh, he's heading out. He's done.
He's done.
No, I'm just spinning around.
Yeah.
That story made me think of. I went to DeVry. Don't worry about me.
Yeah. What happened to your back? Is your back okay?
It's fucked up.
What happened?
And then I had to drive. I went to Malibu today, and then I drove back, and then I was like, switched cars. That's what I do sometimes. I have two cars. They're both crummy. Uh-huh. One's a 95, one's a 2010. But I just switched because it's better my back to switch, mix it up. So then I had to get back over the hill. I go, all right, Bobby lives in the fucking shitty area. So I was just thinking to myself. I was like, oh, I have to go to that crummy fucking place. How am I going to walk through this? Should I drink before, during, or after? I'm improvising.
Yeah.
And back to the wrong message.
Yeah.
We went to dinner at Nobu or something. I think strip me and you steak. And Chris went to strip steak.
You took me to strip steak.
That's great. All. When we go to Hawaii, that's the only place he takes me now.
It's so good.
I'm so in love with strip steak.
Yeah.
Michael Mina.
Yeah, Michael Mina.
God damn, it's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we, okay, go ahead.
No,
but
I just want
to go to Nobu after that.
We never did Nobu in Hawaii.
Who was the guy from Hawaii Five-0 came to our table? Alex.
I don't know. I was.
So you weren't there?
I wasn't there. No.
That's how I thought it happened.
No, I'm on Magnum PI, not Hawaii Five-0.
That's probably why.
Two different shows.
Because I was thinking Hawaii Five-0 because they had the booth next to us, this kid on that show and his producer, and then they came over and talked to us, and we all talked about whatever. And I thought, oh, I was with Bobby. And that's how you got it. I didn't know.
No, you know that hotel that we stay in?
Yeah.
What is that hotel called?
Aloha Lani.
Aloha Lana. And close. Yeah. And
like to buy a vowel.
And there's a, what's that restaurant connected to it? Bobby.
The Morimoto.
Morimoto. I don't say Bobby.
Is it the one in the hotel?
In the hotel. It's not a great restaurant.
Got a good view. Yeah, I like that one though.
So I was sitting at the bar there, and I think I had wonton soup or something. And
Of course.
And there was a Chinese guy, an Asian guy, sat next to me. Just some young guy, and he was.
Is that what you ate? Some young guy.
And he just was staring at me, and I go, "What's up?" And he goes, hey, I'm a writer and producer on Magnum PI. I'm a huge fan. Can I write you a part?
Whoa.
And I go, yeah, I needed that. Because let me tell you something. My Chinese
I'm on the
friend,
wrong missy getting
I'm rammed. On the wrong missy.
I got fucked by these guys.
No, but dude, that saved me.
So you flew back and did a couple, right?
Four. And in this season, they've already written if they would do another season. They're picked up, but we don't know because of the pandemic. But they've already written three, you know.
That's a show like they never stop doing, right?
Yeah. And it's just
that's a gift.
But I wanted to ask you a question. And the question is, why is it when you have dinner with David Spade and you show up at the restaurant, you had already ordered everything on the menu and it's sitting on the table?
God, that's too much. Exactly what I do.
It's so polite.
If anyone hears it, they go, oh.
I know.
Because the real story is I don't drink until I eat. And a lot of my friends like to drink for a while, then eat. I have to eat first, and then I can drink. So I'll fucking black out. So I want to get the shit going. So I go, give me some food in me, and then I can start drinking. And my other buddy's like, take your time. Like, they think the food is the end.
Right.
And then they just go home. So they stall. I eat, and then I want to hang out and bullshit. And when I think Chris came.
Yeah.
But they knew me by then. So right when I walk in, they're like, here's your tuna tartare. That Toon Tartar, I think that was one of them.
Oh, real good.
Beats out. Oh.
Oh.
God, they were fucking killing it. I want to go back, but there's a Quarantino on.
I know, man.
I go, I'm good, man. I don't got anything.
I also think that Rob's nice, but I think your Ted, I like Rob a lot. He's done our podcast.
We've had him on here.
Has Rob done our podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Rob Schneider, I love you. But I there's a fondness, it's funny because your generation of dudes, not that you're old.
He's like generation.
I am getting old.
Not that you're old, but what I'm saying is that, you know, when they come to the Comedy Store, they generally don't befriend the younger guy. They just kind of do their own thing. But you were able to acclimate yourself, right, and become amongst the group.
Yeah.
Right, which is, I think, like I said before, you know, you're just inherently nice, you know? And it's not as if you have an agenda or anything like that. You just do that. And I just find that interesting because I think, you know, that's why you're always relevant.
Well, thank you. I think growing up doing stand-up, when, you know, a Seinfeld or a big act would come into town, I was in Arizona. If you were open, middle on the road, or you had a headliner, it was all sort of like, not the same, but everyone would just bullshit. And so whenever you're on the road, you're like, hey, I just work with this guy. Who is your middle? Oh, this guy. And everyone sort of knew each other over the years. And you just realize you're all in the same racket now. But there's like a fraternity club to that you just sort of, with comics, I start liking them until proven otherwise. So I'll just say, hey, man, until someone rubs me wrong or they don't like me or whatever. But overall, I just get along. You know, I will start by being cool because when I was on the way up, people were pretty cool and you just wanted them to, hey, you know, like tell me about being a headliner or ask questions about shit. So it's fun because usually everyone you talk to, you start bullshitting about some comic you work with or do you know this guy and you know some of their jokes. You talk about the repeat everyone other's jokes. It's fun. I like that. So I like the comedy world.
Mm.
So Adam Egan brought me into the Comedy Store because I saw him a few times. He goes, you should do sets here. I never did a set there because I auditioned before SNL and I didn't get it.
With Mitzi?
With Mitzi?
I auditioned when I was 20.
Mitzi?
And Mitzi said, no. Louis Anderson got me in.
Oh.
Cut the tape. what happened was. No, Louis got me in. He just knew Schneider or something. I knew Rob and he got me on audition. And he walks out the sidewalk right there on Sunset. And yeah. I'm like so nervous. He goes, yeah, she didn't like you.
Yeah.
God damn. And I thought I did good. Funny Boys got me in at the Improv, which is a comedy team. And they told me to start getting spots. So I said, okay. So anyway, that's how it started. But I never went back to the Comedy Store because of that.
Yeah, it's this, you know, Steve Harvey, one time I saw him walk in because he was doing like Fat Tuesday, which was a, you know. It was called Fat Tuesday.
I know.
Yeah, Fat Tuesday. It was on Tuesday nights, and it was I'm going to say this word, and I don't want to get in trouble for it, but this is what they call it.
Well, don't press.
No, it was called Urban Comedy Night.
Whoa,
that's what it was called.
I can't believe you said that.
it was.
They
called,
also have Chocolate Sundae.
Exactly. Hey. Right. Hey.
Whoa. What a white supremacy. Whoa.
I didn't prep. I didn't prep you. Yeah. But that's. What they have? Is it the belly room?
It was in the main room. Okay. So, you know, Cedric and all these guys. Mm. So I remember Steve Harvey walked into the building and he spit on the wall. I'm not kidding you. Down the hallway, he goes, fuck this fucking club. Fuck Mitzi Shore. Try to audition for this fucking bullshit.
Oh,
never.
Wow.
So people have, you know, when Mitzi ran it, this resentment. I was at I've said this before. I was sat next to Mitzi during a showcase, mm-hmm. and this guy came up. He was killing, right? And a minute in, she goes, light him. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have it. And I go, Mitzi, that's Louis C.K. He has his HBO special.
he was just doing a guest spot?
Yeah, no, he was showcasing.
Oh.
And she looks at me. She goes, he doesn't have it.
Oh, boy.
I go, he doesn't have what? No talent? Yes, you know what I mean? I mean, it was...
I know. No matter what you say about him, you got to say he writes good jokes.
He was so funny that night, but Mitzi is just...
I'd never met her. I never saw her in my life.
Yeah.
She was in the back, or wherever that was.
Maybe it's a blessing.
Pitch black, fucking dirty Comedy Store.
Yeah.
Which it might get a good scrubbing while they're at it. I was like, Adam, while you're in there, let's get the scrubbing bubbles in there and really give it a...
But do you like the club?
I mean, I do like it because I never really, out of resentment, I didn't know anyone. I didn't know how to get spots. And I just said, fuck, I wish I had a place to practice. And then I met Adam through whatever. And then he goes, oh, you should come now. I don't know. So I went down and he goes, I'll give you a spot whenever. So I walk in. He goes, just come in whenever. So I went in one night and he goes, just go next. And then I came in a week later. He goes, just go next. And then I go, oh, I don't want to bump. Then it was turning into bumping. And I go, I'll just tell you ahead and you just throw me on the lineup. And then I don't want to be one of these guys. So,
because you were one of those people that, like, because we had the same old fucking before Adam. Because I've been there since 1995.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I was a doorman. I did the whole fucking thing.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. So it's like when I'd seen the same acts for 15 years. Mm. She never invited new people in.
Right. He put it together a good squad.
Oh, my God. He brought
because
in...
those lineups are... Taking a break. Those lineups are... The problem is your chair, like, whenever you sit on it, it just starts to spin that way.
You want a green one?
No. Okay. Looks pretty good. I'm going to try to jam it so it doesn't keep spinning.
Yeah.
Whatever. You don't care.
Yeah.
Back to this. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. What are you doing, George?
He's framing it.
Yeah, those lineups are insane.
When does this chair need to be back in the fucking attic? When does it need to be back on the fucking streets and someone picks it
up? Is that a Kia?
No.
Yeah. I've been bitten by 30 fire ants living in the back of foam.
Yeah, they've got cats.
So I will say the lineups are good. But Bobby Lee is very funny, and Bobby Lee is a fan favorite of all the comedians. And... very tough to get close to Bobby Lee, though.
Mm-hmm.
We are friends, but he does... this plexiglass is an analogy. What you put up.
What do you mean? Wait. Let me...
Yes. Yes.
Number one, okay. Wrong. How?
She gets...
I agree. I fully agree.
Okay. I just want to say, defend myself real quick, okay? That's me backing up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That, you know, whenever you text, I respond.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Okay. And that's, everyone?
I was going to say that's not true, but there's a couple times when you didn't, and then you go, I don't text or call people back. I go, that's a great policy.
Yeah. And then,
well, do you have Morse code?
Beep, beep, beep.
Yeah. And who's worse, me or Oliver Hudson?
Oh, yeah, he's gross.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he's bad.
Yeah, he's pretty bad. In fact, he texted me today. I'll show you what he texted me. And I did not respond because I know that he wouldn't respond to my text. But his is
God.
Oliver Hudson today at 2:44. I need you on Daddy Issues.
Oh, that's his
show.
Yeah, his show. His other show.
He has a show called Daddy Issues?
The podcast. Yeah. With Joe Buck.
Oh, I thought he had literal daddy. I'm not fucking kidding you.
Well, that's why the show is called that.
I did it.
You did Daddy Issues?
He jumped the line in front of you.
Did he? Is it through Zoom or did
when
you have
everybody? Anyone wants to do a podcast? I go. I got to do Bobby Lee first. It's only fair.
Yeah.
You got to go through the system.
So wait,
I want to get back to why you think it's tough to get close to Bobby.
Well, there's a certain guard up to not be. Now the COVID thing is like a fucking gift for him, because now he can't go to dinner because he can't leave the house. So I've asked him to go to dinner and then I gave up because I'll go. I got Adam Egan and I got. You know, Theo or Tim Dillon, I go, you want to cruise? And then I just stop because the answer will be no if there's an answer. Or he goes, I don't do that. I don't do that. What? Eat? Go to dinner? Hang out?
Yeah.
But I will see him at the store. So if there's a reason, this or the store.
Stop there.
I'll say one
thing. Okay, go ahead.
You're not wrong. And I think he likes to exist in people's lives in bursts. So he wants to...
I'll take anything I get.
Yeah, he'll give you himself in bursts of an hour every 2 weeks, but he has this fear that any longer than an hour, you're going to stop liking him.
I get it. I get that a little bit.
Am I right or wrong?
Heavy, man.
Okay, no, here's the... All right. You know who... there's this black guy I know.
Just say black guy. My God.
Why do you have an aneurysm right now?
I know. No, because I just don't want to get canceled. So I'm just trying to figure out how to say something.
Pause.
You said two things. And it's fucking over.
I know what. Yeah.
And David Spade laughed. I don't want to be the guy. I'm not laughing. Go ahead. You hate
so
it.
So I know a guy named AJ Jamal.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
He used to be on, he did one season on In Living Color.
Okay.
Wait, hang on. Is the fact that he was black important or relevant to the story?
Oh, God. Helping with the canceling.
Yeah. No.
Okay, you're canceled.
But maybe you want us to picture him. You know that.
Yeah.
You know.
Picture.
AJ Jamal.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So this has to do with Mitzi. So when I first moved to Los Angeles, I was a doorman. And so I was a doorman at the La Jolla Comedy Store.
Ooh.
And Paulie goes, dude, you should door up here, brah.
Yeah.
So I go, I have no money, but okay. So I saved up like $200. I took my truck up there and I moved up there. You know, I had a fucking pillowcase full of clothing, no money. I show up and then I'm now working the door.
Do you have an act?
No, I have like 5 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. I like 5 minutes.
So and all doormen have an act?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I see Mitzi walk in one day. She goes, oh, you're that Chinese guy from La Jolla. I go, yeah. And
she's getting canceled.
Yeah. And then after the brief conversation, she just walks away. And AJ Jamal pulls me aside and goes, yo, I don't want to do an impression.
Yeah.
So that's my bad.
It's really stupid.
Am I being dumb? Am I being dumb?
Here,
am I being dumb? Yeah. So he goes, hey, man, don't have a conversation with her longer than 5 minutes. I go, why? Because she's going to reveal things about yourself that you're not going to like. And also, you might be able to, you might say something that's going to forever damage the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Right? So I only did 5 minute pockets with Mitzi. Right? And I think I use that for some reason, that approach to just people in general.
Yeah.
Because I have defense mechanisms. But, you know, you don't know this, but
right.
I probably have had more dinners with you than most people.
Yeah.
And I know we've had only dinner 3 to 4 times, right? But that's way more than anyone else.
You're right. You don't break bread with anybody.
I don't break bread. And also, how highly do I talk about him?
Yeah, you are nice. But I see at the store and you're out there in the hallway, so we get to shoot the shit there.
Yeah. That's but cool. I also want, listen, the pandemic... Like that last one, listen, the last one you called me about is that you had Theo coming over for dinner?
For the fights, I think.
For the fights or something,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And, this...
That's understandable.
But if it wasn't, because I'm a huge UFC fan, and if it wasn't for the pandemic, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I would have 100% because the joy of hanging out with you and Theo, right?
Well,
and watching the fights would have been fucking amazing. Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah. And so when in 2021, if we're both alive,
yeah,
and they find a vaccine, right? That I would, you know what? I'll harass you.
Well, it's fun because we don't go to the store anymore, so it's fun to go bullshit at dinner. So
yeah,
we have a drink, or Theo doesn't drink. But
yeah,
we just sit there and bullshit, watch the fight, make fun of it, make fun of anything, and he's fucking funny. He's like, I knew this kid that had a really big ribs.
I've heard
dumb
that one.
Shit all night. And it's always funny.
Yeah,
it makes me fucking crack up.
He's such a funny guy.
And
man.
Then Tim Dillon's like, you know why you should be in jail? And I'm like, oh. You know, he has a lot to say, which is hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't even know him that well. I just started to. And
yeah.
When I was in Palm Springs, I went over to his place. He's got a cool place down there and just shot the shit just for fun. You know, just fun to bullshit. Why not? Because everyone I like is smart. Funny comic, so that's who I gravitate to. So those people are fun to bullshit with, and they're usually along my lines. I see the Sklars sometimes. I see, whoever I've already said, but you know, I know a lot of people.
Yeah,
just from recently, or they were on my show. The show's canceled, by the way. Do you know that?
I didn't.
You didn't say something, but it is.
No.
But isn't just Comedy Central?
I thought
done?
Because I Comedy Central was done.
Fizzled down, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like I didn't want to like.
No, it was nice. You sort of.
But just let me defend myself again. Is that I when I found out that Comedy Central was done, and it was the same about time when I found out that your show wasn't happening anymore or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I thought it was all a part of the same umbrella. You know what I mean? So it's instead of like texting you and Awkwafina. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about your show. I thought the network did it.
It was sort of spoon-fed to me that way. Well, it was kind of like it's coming from Viacom, not Comedy Central. because Comedy Central, I think, wanted to go out and shop it and try to sell it. And what an odd situation that that's where I'm getting let go. But they, so there was something, a little shenanigans, some monkey business going on. I didn't know exactly what was going on, but I just knew, listen, if it's done, it's done. It's a little jarring because it was going pretty well. We were having a good time. And then we went into the sort of a bunker version like this and did it for a while. And it was fun, but it's going to, a version of that will land somewhere soon.
Well, you, there's, because I watch your Instagram feed.
Yeah.
And I love that. You know, I mean, I always watch every video that you have on there.
Thank you.
And I just think that that's the wheelhouse. I mean, you're a great actor and all that stuff, but I think you can do that.
I like that. And you know what? I popped you a like about a year ago. Did you get that? Remember you were doing cartwheels around the house?
Yeah.
When you found out?
Yeah. But are you mad because I never did that show?
No, you did something for us.
I sent a video, but...
You sent a video sitting in a...
But me and Santino did your pilot.
Okay. Yeah, that helps. Listen.
Oh, no, and we bombed. Remember, we thought we... You have to understand, we thought we ruined your that show.
Yeah, but I'm at least smart enough to know it was sort of a weird night. And
Yeah. But I know...
It didn't bother me. I was like, bring him on again. It's going to be 1,000% different situation.
Yeah, but we went to our cars and we literally almost cried.
Yeah, I know. It's so gross.
Yeah.
But I would never hold that against you. And everyone in the room was like,
yeah,
tough night, tough crowd, practice shows, whatever.
Oh, Esther was on the same.
Esther.
Oh, she was?
Yeah.
It was, and she killed it.
Yeah.
It's good.
She got good laughs.
I don't remember, but I do know we did all those test shows and I met a lot of funny people and everyone usually would come there and bring something. It's a hard show to do, actually.
Oh my God, I can't imagine.
Because you sit and you gotta, it moves pretty quickly. It's not like bullshitting like this, which is ideally the fun way to do it.
Yeah.
So if I did something else, I'd probably slow it down a bit so you can just talk.
We also love the fact that our girl, Candace Thompson.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I love Candace.
We love her.
She's always a crack up in the writing room.
Yeah, she's our girl.
For those folks at home, she's a writer on the show and she comes on sometimes.
Great stand up.
Yeah, she's done her show. And she does bits. Belly.
Before you go, we're not done, but I want to ask you about just briefly.
Go ahead. I'm going to text people. Keep asking.
Oh my God.
Oh God.
No, I I smoked so many cigarettes today since I woke up because I was nervous about Dave coming. You know, I've been wanting you on this podcast for so long, but I didn't want to.
Can't believe. Are we in a commercial?
That I waited until we could open up and have guests on.
Oh, because I was going to call it in.
You were going to do a Zoomy Zoom, right?
But oh, and didn't you say, let's wait?
I wanted to wait. I needed you here.
That was the one you answered.
Yes, that's the one. How did you get SNL?
Oh.
I'm a huge fan.
We're gonna change.
I wrote a book. I read a book called Live from New York.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Was I in it?
Yeah,
maybe they just talked about
it. Yeah, they talked about
it. Is that where we all, is the whole book is just us talking, like quotes of cast members?
Yes.
Like it'll go Jim down.
Yeah, I think you were in it.
Talk.
Yes.
Adam Sandler before.
And there was, you know, you hear nightmarish stories in the book, right? So I always, I want to, you know, I think we asked Rob the same thing.
Hey. Maze. He just moved it. He just moved to Arizona, where I'm from.
Yeah.
Not to change the subject, but he's moved out there and he goes, hey, you live out there. I'm moving there. I go, oh, if you want, I got a guy that could show you around. I know, I live here. I go, oh. you were just moving there 1 second. And then he goes, no, I'm here.
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes, fucking hot as shit, man. What do you do? Am I turning the wrong way? Maybe the camera should be in front of me. Anyway, it's like more over there. You know, I sort of split between you guys, so maybe you put it there next.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't do podcasts. Don't listen to me. So, but my chair keeps spinning this way. Yeah. So that's where you get.
You know, my mom lives in Gilbert, Arizona.
Oh yeah, I know where that is.
Yeah. How? What part of Arizona? Was it
Scottsdale?
Scottsdale.
Yeah, that's where I grew up. But Gilbert's pretty close. So Schneider goes, hey. First, it's really hot. We know he moved at the worst time. And then he goes, hey, my wife got bit by a scorpion.
An Arizona bar scorpion?
Got bit by a scorpion already. Like within a month. That's pretty quick.
Yeah,
and those scorpions are deadly in Arizona.
Scorpions are scary. I was, when I got some money from old Tommy Boy a long time ago, I went and bought a house in Arizona. And I had, and it was called a model house. So they show you, this is the house they show you, and if you want them to build one. I didn't know that. So it has every extra amenity in case you want it. Like, oh, it's got the sleek this, a little fountain in the front. You have to add that if you build one.
Yeah.
And I go, how about this one? And they go, oh, well, we can sell you this one, but we have to show it for a year. And so they worked out a deal where I buy it, and then they rent it back for me for a year because I was doing the show. I was like, I don't care.
Yeah.
And then I'll have every amenity.
Why?
That's what I thought. So, I did it, and then they had to build 100 houses around it, right? So the bummer was when I finally moved in, they're breaking ground in the desert. So all the scorpions come to me.
Oh.
So I found 18 in 2 years. 18. And you know there's way more. These are the ones that are out. You know, they're the ones that have the balls. They're like, oh, it's like a Pixar movie. Oh, he is here. So I was on a speakerphone once talking to some lady friend, and I'm in my boxers and my bare feet. And then I go, whoa, whoa, hang on. I see, I go, a scorpion, it's coming right at me. And she goes, what? And I go, I got a scorpion, I got to jump off. And she goes, oh my God, I had a ladybug on my shower curtain. And I go, I'm going to die and you almost had good luck.
Can scorpions kill you?
The Arizona bars are like one of the most poisonous ones. And then on top of that, Arizona has the recluse.
Etymologist.
And then they have the recluse spiders there.
Oh, yeah, the brown recluse.
Because I used to live in Vegas, and we used to get the similar scorpions out there.
You'd get a ragtag team from Arizona out there. Dude, I would. If you said, would you rather get bit by a rattlesnake, scorpion, wolf spider, which is a brown recluse, or a black widow, here's the order I would take to get bit.
Okay.
Scorpion, rattlesnake.
Yeah.
Wow.
Black widow, then wolf spider. Oh, I don't know if that's right. I don't know if that's right.
Wait, so you're saying wolf?
It depends what kind of rattlesnake, because some are less. Like the Pacific rattlesnake, maybe not. Different.
Why does she know everything?
She's fucking bright.
There's sidewinders.
Okay, this
diamondback.
Not the diamond.
Right, that's what we had mostly. Sidewinders and diamondback.
Okay, so you're saying you would first get bit by a scorpion.
And I wouldn't. I probably wouldn't go to the hospital.
Where are you getting bit? It depends where.
Nutsack. If I get to pick.
Yeah.
No, let's say your foot.
Nutsack.
Okay, foot.
That's we usually, they're in your shoes a lot.
Okay, so scorpion first. Rattlesnake, what's your third?
Black widow.
What used to be black widow was last, but if you throw in wolf spider.
Recluse would be my last.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I said black widow. Even though black widows will fuck you up, but. I would still say wolf spider last because they cave in your skin. It's like a bump and then a bigger bump and then doof, it's and like then a sinkhole.
Because they eat the tissue underneath.
That's cool.
Yeah. What do you mean?
How terrifying.
The toxin basically melts your tissue away. So when you get bit by a recluse, it like he said,
they
it's first a dump.
Their toxin in you.
And then it's just a giant gaping hole underneath.
Yeah, like so, your arm goes and then it goes like caves
so
in.
So if a brown recluse bit me right here on the cat, holy and fuck, becomes, is that a nipple?
That looks like a nip.
That's not even bad because I've seen more like necrotic ones where it's like the whole flesh is dug out. Because
I'm jacking off in it. Hey, why is there edamame in it?
Japanese?
Wow. So I never realized that brown recluses were that...
They are scary, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this thing needs a couple quick fixes, but not for this time.
Yeah.
See, it keeps going that way.
What do you have the biggest heebie-jeebies about? Like, what kind of animal
what
are you
What scares
like?
Me?
Yeah.
You know, I heard, it doesn't scare me, but I heard a bunch of coyotes fighting this morning. Like, usually when they find a dog at about 4 or 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They yip.
They live on a hill. It's But they...
Yeah.
Dog in the middle going, what the fuck? Because they go searching for him.
Yeah.
And when they see him on the streets, this is video too, right? When they see, if I come up my street and I see a coyote, they don't care at all.
Uh-uh. Yeah.
They're not scared. They go like this. Pull your car up and they go.
Yeah.
And then they go into the bushes. But they don't go, oh.
We were in a car when we went to the desert last week.
Mm-hmm.
We were in the car. Remember when we took that off road and there was a coyote right there.
Yeah.
And I'm in a fucking Jeep, right? And he's just like, I'm not moving.
Taking his time. to cross.
I ain't moving.
And I don't know if they all, well, you're our resident zoologist, but do they have rabies or is it just that they...
Coyotes typically don't have rabies. Like foxes can carry rabies. I think any animal can carry rabies if something with rabies bit that animal. Mm-hmm. Like we could carry rabies.
If a comedian could carry rabies.
Do you know what the antidote is to getting rabies? Like if you ever get bit by rabies, you need to get like 14 shots to the abdomen.
They still do that?
I think so.
Old school. You'd think they'd have that fixed by now.
Or at least in the Philippines, they still do that.
Do they, and the rattlesnake, we were told to suck it out. Is that true? Like,
I think when you get bit by a rattlesnake, you're supposed to keep your heart rate down and stay as calm as possible on your en route to a hospital. Because if your heart rate is fast, then you're actually spreading the toxins in your body much faster.
I think the idea was, my stepdad would say, cut the two teeth marks together in a line, suck as much as you can out, spit it out, and then cross your fucking fingers. My stepdad. So we had, in my room, we had five rattlesnakes. My brother would collect them. I lived in this crummy town, copper mining town outside of Scottsdale, about an hour. Uh-huh. So really on the way to Tucson, like middle of nowhere. And Brian, my brother, had five rattlesnakes and a tarantula in this little cage. He had a boa and a python before that, but they both got loose in the house and then that was it. We never figured out where they went. So rattlesnakes, so my stepdad comes home. He was a little bit of a boozy Susie. And he came home. And we were trying to catch this rattlesnake out front to make it six, you know, we found one. And when we had a old milk, that's like a gallon, right? Yeah. You picture that empty.
Yeah.
And then we took two tennis rackets and you get it behind the head and then you put it in and then it curls at the bottom. Then you put the top on. So that's how we caught the other one. Now we're all like, you know, I'm like 8, 10, and 12, me and my brothers.
Yeah.
We're trying to catch this rattlesnake and my drunk dad comes home and stepdad. And he sees us. He goes, what are you trying to do? We go, we got to get it in there. And he goes, well, what are you playing tennis with it? You just grab it by the neck. And you stick it in.
Yeah.
By the way, when he put it in, it goes, har! And I'm like, that's why you don't grab it. And he goes, I'm going to go take a nap. And I'm like, wow. Oh, shit, I bet you will. So he went in. He's like this. And he lays down. We're staring at him like this, and his fucking face starts to shake. And then we wake him up, and we drive him straight to the hospital.
Oh, wow.
He's drunk. He fell asleep.
Oh.
And they were like, you got him here just in time, and then they had to do antivenom and all this.
Yeah.
Well, he could have died?
I think so. It can make you really sick.
Yeah.
But
did you get along with your stepdad?
I did. My stepdad went a little crazy, but I did. We had the real dad. He left. Then there was a gap of no dad, and then there was a... And my mom didn't date at all. There's three boys, you know. It's like, she had two jobs, no way.
Wow.
And then stepdad, and then he went a little cuckoo.
What do you mean?
He was in the Army, so we had all these... He had a lot of mental problems.
PTSD.
Yeah, we didn't know then.
What Depression, war? What war?
I think it was Vietnam.
One of my favorites. Really one of my favorites.
Yeah. Is that a top five for you?
No, just in terms of like the movies.
Oh, because we watched the Ken Burns 10-hour documentary.
Not only that, not only that, Platoon.
Nerd alert.
Platoon. Platoon.
I know, those are all based on.
Right?
All shot in the Philippines.
Full Metal Jacket.
Shot in the Philippines.
They really glamorized it.
Yeah.
Philippines, are we from?
Yeah.
How many Philippines are there?
7,107.
If you had a gun to my head, I would have said 4. Because I go, how is everyone Filipino? It's this big. I literally thought it was three islands the size of Kauai.
No, it's crazy because it's like, I think even smaller by landmass, smaller than California, but we have over 100 million people. So it's kind of like, fucking it's similar.
Because Schneider's in the tribe.
Yeah, I know he is.
It's part of the tribe.
And when we go, right, we'll get a boat.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll go to an island.
Multiple
islands that aren't inhabited.
Just island hop.
And just be on an island with
nothing on it. Are some uninhabited?
Most of them are.
Yeah. It's fucking amazing. And then you just float. Remember what I did? So the water's so blue, right? And then so you just, and you lay there on your back and you're doing the island life. Right? You say that to yourself. And I floated a mile away. Do you remember?
He did.
I fell asleep.
He got took by a current, but he was asleep. Oh. And he fell asleep.
Dead asleep.
You can sleep like in the water with nothing?
Uh-huh. Yes, with
really
nothing.
Buoyant.
I'm buoyant. And I fell asleep. And I opened my eyes. It's like fucking, you know.
In the middle
das
of the,
boot.
Yeah.
It was like Das Boot. I thought terrifying. I was going to die. Terrifying.
Yeah.
Terrifying. And then she had to swim a mile to get me.
You.
What?
We can't lose you.
Would you cry if I died?
Ask your favorite question.
I'd give you that.
Hey, guys.
Bobby. That's me. Hey, Slept Kingdom. The Patreon is better than ever with more diverse rewards and ever-expanding community of people like you. I love you guys so much. You can check out by signing up at patreon.com/tigerbelly.
If you're not a member, you might be missing out. You'll get access to exclusive vlogs, audio podcasts, the Discord community, live streams, and other behind-the-scenes content you can't find anywhere else.
Here are the big papayas from Patreon of the month of August. Bon Johnson from the Bon Factory of the Johnson and Johnson universe.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
We love this person. Rachel Wilkins. Mm. She's the number one Rachel in the world.
Number.
Mm-hmm.
In Twitter. Melvin Flores. Flores.
Mm. Means flowers.
Means flower.
Flowers.
Miyagi.
Oh, Jay Miyagi.
Jay Miyagi is a sushi from a blowfish.
Oh.
The underbelly of the belly.
We call that butiti.
Butiti. Rebecca Torres, you know? Hola, que tal? Bien, bien. Is that racist?
No, I think not. Your culture.
Hafiz from Singapore. Yep, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Parvez Bashir. I think the SH is silent.
So
it's Parvez Bashir. Jamie Che Cortez. Che.
I think it's Jaime.
Oh, Jaime. What's Che then?
Che.
Yeah.
Che. Cortez.
I love your name. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Please change it.
Don't
change it. We love it. Compliment pig.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Love him.
I love pigs. I do. I love them. I like to eat them, but I also like to...
We don't really eat pigs anymore.
No. Matt Zwicker. Matt Zwicker. He's a magician for sure.
Of course.
Yeah. Aaron Wasserstrom.
Wasserstrom.
Aaron Wasserstrom.
That's a great
way too many S's in that last name.
It's like a football name.
Take two S's out. Let's take a Wasserstrom.
Wasserstrom. Wasserstrom.
Yeah. Agatha Pitchfork Ricketts Check Klopp.
Wow.
Fuck you.
I love that name, Agatha.
I do, but the whole thing is fuck you.
It's a lot.
And oh my God, my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been to discos all my life in the 70s when I grew up, right? My favorite is the ones on the moon. So how about Moon Disco?
Wow.
From the US.
Yeah. When you go to a moon disco, you can't really dance because you float in this space.
There's no gravity.
There's no gravity.
Yeah.
If you're curious or interested in seeing more, you can go to patreon.com/tigerbelly.
Enjoy the rest of the show.
What was my favorite question?
Your favorite question is, would you ask all friends if they would show up to your funeral if you had a big gig that weekend?
All right,
Oh, no, you don't have to add that.
Yeah.
How about would I just go if it was in the valley?
Right. So if I died,
yeah.
Dave, if I died and it was on a Saturday and Saturday was day one.
Things.
Day one on Wrong Missy Part 2 in Hawaii. Would you call production and go, I got to show up the next day because I have to go to Bobby Lee's funeral?
Mm.
I would see if anyone was Zooming it while they were there. I think there was during Wrong Missy.
Oh, really? Brody? Happened. Oh, that's right.
Were you there?
Was
it? I never went. Yeah, I think I was in Hawaii. Maybe.
No, you weren't. It was right before Hawaii. You guys were probably in Hawaii already.
What was my excuse? What was my excuse?
No, you weren't. It happened the week before you had to go to Hawaii to shoot your stuff.
Well, why didn't I go?
A week before.
Did I go to a funeral?
Oh no, you were in the Philippines.
I was in the Philippines.
Yes.
Thank God.
I was in the fucking Philippines. That's why I didn't go.
I was about to say what happened.
Yeah.
That would have been a tough one though.
Yeah.
I like Brody a lot. We had been down the road for that year before, a year and a half.
Oh.
I got to know him the best at that last year and a half, so it would have been tough.
It was, there's been a couple of comedy deaths.
Yeah, it's
tough. And his was so sudden, right?
Yeah.
Out of the fucking blue. And, you know, I've said this before, but you know, when she told me that Brody had died, I was sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
She, you know, when you're sleeping.
Did you forget or something?
No, she woke me up. She goes.
It was 4 p.m., but. It was
4 p.m. And she goes. It was 4 p.m.
4 p.m.
And she.
That changes it a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. 4 p.m. And she goes, sweetie.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Brody died. And I go, what? Brody Stevens died. And I laid there for maybe a minute,
mm-hmm.
still sleeping. And then I go, why am I not crying? And then she goes, this is what she says, because you're still sleeping, like mid-sleep.
You don't get it.
When you wake up, you will.
Of course.
And as soon as I woke up.
Yeah, it was. And then you canceled your weekend in Irvine.
Yeah, I canceled my weekend in Irvine. David's got to go. But yeah. So what we got to do is, before you go, we do.
Is there a game?
It's not a game.
Okay.
No, it's called Unhelpful Advice, and people email us problems.
Oh, good.
And we answer them.
You know what's funny is that you were right.
What do you mean?
I don't like you anymore.
It's going to take 2 minutes.
This is way too long.
Go. Here's a quick question.
Unhelpful Advice with Bobby, Kalila, and David Spade.
Hi, guys. I'm an 18-year-old in a group of alpha personalities. We all try to dominate to be the most dominant guy in our group. If you were in this situation, how did you handle it? Or if not, how do you handle it without being an asshole about it? Thanks for your help, Noah.
How old is he?
18.
Oh, 18.
He's a part of an alpha.
The pissing contest in that age.
Like, I don't think he wants to be a part of it anymore.
Oh, he's like, he's basically a bunch of bros.
You guys are in a comic group, so like, how do you...
Yeah, but I'm not an alpha male.
But why would...
Wait, you think I'm... Wait. You think I'm a fucking alpha male?
When you're in certain groups, you're the alpha male.
No, someone who has to try to be an alpha male is already never going to be an alpha.
Mm.
An alpha is quiet.
I'm an alpha male in front of you incels. Right? When I'm a bunch of fucking weak incels, yeah, I dominate.
What's an incel?
An incel are...
It's
an angry virgin.
They're angry male guys.
They hate women.
That are celibate without...
Involuntary
celibate.
Yeah.
Okay, I like
right?
It.
That's so, me. No, you're not. You're a pussy machine. But,
Swish it around.
I'm not a type.
No, but you get like, beautiful girls.
No, I'm saying I'm not like a, I've got some guy friends that are very type A, like take over any situation, have to be number one. Drives me nuts. I always let them do their thing.
Yeah.
I know.
You're probably like that too.
Yes.
Because it's their drag.
Because guys like us have to use a different angle, and I use cute, right, quirky, you know what I mean, and a nice guy kind of angle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right. I do funny things like go boop, you know what I mean, at dinner, and the girl goes, "Oh my god, why'd you do that?" I go boop again like that, right, and they love it, right. I'm not like you know some of the guys we know, like, "Hey, look at my fucking bicep.
I got a new Tacoma."
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to tell this guy right here, right?
I actually do.
Stop.
Okay, so what are you going to tell him?
What I'm going to say is that it's, you know what I like? I like guys that look like they're alpha male, but they're tender inside. You know,
like
you know, Jezelnik.
Mm.
Anthony. Jezelnik,
yeah,
with his leather jackets,
mm-hmm.
and his brooding, you know, James Deany.
You forgot to say Anthony Jeselnik, white guy.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And then when you meet him, he just has a smile and a little, you know, not China, not Asian.
You pulled that really far.
I'm so sorry.
Really far.
He could be intimidating though.
He can be, but Jeselnik has a thing where he has crows.
Crow's feet.
You know, crow's feet.
A crinkle in his eye.
And white dudes get crinkles in their eyes because they smile a lot.
That would make sense. I always thought it was a sun.
No. They smile a lot. And when they smile, their eyes crinkle, right? And so Jeselnik is intimidating at first and seems like an alpha male.
Do you think that white guys generally smile more?
Well, it cracks when they smile.
That's acceptable.
You smile a lot, but it doesn't do anything.
Why is that?
Because your skin is great.
Thank you. You know, do you have any advice to this?
Well, I like that he's at least doesn't want to be in that group of like asshole guys like that. It is hard though, because everyone's so, when I was 18, I was following, do whatever was cool. I was such a little plebe, lemming. I would do anything. Everyone's going there. Is that cool? I think that's cool. Everyone's wearing that shirt. I'll wear that shirt. I was like that 100%.
Yeah.
Took a while to try to break out into your own thing. I don't have any advice. This guy's fucked up. I mean, I don't know. It's hard. I like he's aware of it. At least he's thinking about it. Like, I guess sort of fade out because it's hard. Everyone's so tough. You go on Barstool Sports, everyone just chugging beer. It's like you get older, you go, it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
I guess it's cool. I don't know.
You have anything to plug, David?
Do you have another question?
No.
Do you have another
question? There's a quick question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Someone knew David was coming on, so asked, how did you guys meet? Do you remember the first interaction, at least?
Did you say it?
I think I just said it.
What did we say?
You said that you eventually met him, but you didn't say exactly when you met him.
I think that the first time we kind of had a conversation was the love after that.
Oh, yeah.
But I had met you before that.
I had seen you before that.
And Adam had introduced us.
I'm sure I said the store, because I started going to the store a little before that.
Yeah. So Adam had introduced us at the store.
I told you your fucking latest badass haircut is cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On stage, I'm like, it looks cool.
Yeah. Well, I was also, one time, I don't know when it was, I was wearing a Montclair jacket. Right?
It's a Montclair jacket.
Is that Montclair? And you touch the symbol, and you go, somebody's making money. And you rubbed it with your finger like that. And so I went on a fucking Montclair. Remember we went to Montclair?
Yeah.
And you bought more?
Yeah, I bought another one, yeah.
Well, no, one time we walked into a New York Montclair.
Yeah.
And you remember how you were, it was so sad.
It was so sad.
Well, we looked a little homeless
then,
and the sales lady was like, can I
Well, the security guard, you knew when we walked in, he had to put his earpiece on. As soon as we walked in, he went, oh, I gotta do my job.
Everyone go to four.
Yeah.
We got a bogey.
And then it was too expensive, right?
It was too expensive, but you kept trying to convince her that you already owned a couple.
All right.
Oh, I thought you were rich?
Yeah.
Gross.
I know. I go.
I love
it. I got one, you know, a camo one that's with a spring vest, one. With a spring, you know what I mean? And she's like,
like 8 seasons ago.
Yeah.
Dude, I was in this place the other day. I'll tell you two quick things. I was in this place the other day, and I have my mask on. And I walk up, and he goes, dude, there's a line. I go, I don't want to be treated like a normal.
Yeah.
I'm like this.
Yeah.
I'm Batman. He's like, yeah, back there, dude. Oh, I guess you didn't see grown ups. But this is gross. So after The Wrong Missy, they send you stuff now. So I get movies to read to see if there's anything funny maybe to do in the future. So there was a road trip movie. And I don't know why I got it in my fucking head. So it was like getting married. My wife's, you know, has never met her dad. Or he ran away when they were kids. So I think I'm going to find him as a present. So I go on a road trip like 4 days before the wedding. I just disappear. I go, I got to do something. Find the dad. Go get him. I'm like, who would play that? Like Eugene Levy or Harrison Ford or something?
Yeah.
Road trip. Bring him all the way back. The last scene is like, gets to the wedding. And she's like, I didn't want to see him. And then it all turns out okay. So I was talking to my man. I was talking to my manager about it. I go, I don't know. I like the idea and it was kind of funny, but I don't know. It has to be funnier. The part's a little flat. The guy's not. And he goes, well, you're like this crazy FBI guy. And I go, oh, wait, I'm the dad guy? He goes, what the fuck? You think you're the young groom? I go, I did. Because I've read those all my life where like it's you and then you go parts where you're like younger and then you go, oh, now you're. Got a kid. Oh, now you're married.
Oh.
And I never done one where I'm like the married guy's dad.
Yeah.
It was so hilariously sickening. I go, I didn't even cross my mind.
Wow.
And he goes, well, fuck, how old are you? I go, well, how old's a kid? And he goes, like 30. I go, was he? I didn't even think.
Wow.
I just thought, guys getting married.
Yeah. You're the dad now,
Dave. Sad.
Yeah. But you have a young energy.
I do, right?
Don't worry about it.
I have young energy now. Help me out of the chair.
Yeah. Anything you want to plug, Dave?
No, I just, Wrong Missy was the only thing you can actually see now. But did you see it was number...
Killed it.
Yeah, it was number one for a while. But out of all Netflix movies, it's number 8 of all time.
Oh, whoa.
Wow.
All time after it was Extraction and those. But listen, we got in there.
We did get in
there. You're all over the sequel, Bobby. If not a spinoff.
The Hotel Clerk.
Mr. Morris, your dinner is almost ready. It's not a restaurant. Okay. Mr. Morris, your car is coming around. You're not a valet.
Yeah.
I know, Adam. Give me 1 second. Let me just get my head together. Mr. Morris, mini sides.
But I have to say, after the week I got back in town after Hawaii, Krista Tony and Adam's wife, his sister, they did a video message thanking me.
Oh, that's a, who, Jackie?
Yeah.
I think they just put you in that because we all talked about, we're like, God, he should be doing so much more. To get you into something is fun, and then you're just going to elevate anything. So it's like, I wish there's more we could get you to do.
I'm going to be in a movie with you one day.
I would love it.
You guys,
I wish I had anything to do with it.
This is honestly a dream of mine. Like, you're one of my favorite people.
Thank you, bud. I'm glad it worked out.
Give him a round of applause. David Spade, everybody. Took me forever.
Hey, guys. I hope you enjoyed the long-awaited David Spade episode. It was a fun one. He's awesome. He's a legend. We'd like to thank everyone over at Patreon. And to join our ever-growing community of people like you, find out more at patreon.com/tigerbelly. Also, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Hims, ShipStation, and Brooklinen. For hair loss, ED, all your men's needs, Hims. Right now, our listeners can get their first visit absolutely free. Go to forhims.com/belly. Make sure your business is ready to meet the demands of delivery culture. Tiger Belly listeners can try ShipStation free for 60 days and use the offer code BELLY. Get started at ShipStation.com today. Brooklyn is the perfect place to find all the comforts for home, including ultra soft towels. Get 10% off your first order at brooklinen.com/tiger. And to get your question answered on Tiger Belly, email us at adviceunhelpful@gmail.com. Once again, you can follow Kalila Clam Decay, the one and only wonderful producer, George_Kimmel. And for anyone out there that's got lots of money and are interested in starting a podcast, check out 7Akies. It's a production company that can help you out in podcast producing. Once again, that's 7Akies. And that is one of our newest sponsors. You're welcome, George and Bryce. Also, guys, you can follow everything Bobby Lee at Bobby Lee Live. And myself, Gilbert. And right now, Bobby's playing Warzone. Actually, he's trying to level up a P90 on shipment. If you know what I'm talking about, hashtag Warzone friends. Anyways, you can follow me at Gilbits. And if you guys are really into MMA and you guys are missing the Bobby and Kalila MMA Minute, which we haven't done in a while, but we will. We'll bring it back on the show. But if you need the MMA fix, I am doing a fun little MMA show with my friend Kung Fu Nick, which you might have heard from Bad Friends. And Alex Lifgod, one of Bobby's Warzone friends. So check that out at We Out Here MMA. And once again, this podcast was brought to you by 7Akies. Yeah.